Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study titled, What is Truth? Part 2 with our teacher, Stephen Miller. And this is part 2 of 2.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, the woman at the well. It's kind of a cool story where there's this woman. She's a Samaritan. And the Samaritans are, you know, you probably heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Did anybody hear that story? Anybody? Okay, the Good Samaritan. Now, as a Bible believer, you know, you hear what Jesus say, oh, the Good Samaritan. What you should be thinking is the good ISIS or the good Al-Qaeda or the good, what's something really, really bad? Whatever is really, really bad. The good what?
Coffee.
The good coffee. No, coffee's really, really good. So what you're saying is the good Muslim or the good... The good gangster. So when you think of a Samaritan in the Bible, it has to be put in the context of what they actually did. And one of the things that the Samaritans were known for was being against the Jews. So, and I don't know if you know this, but the Bible is a Jewish book. So during the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's about 400 years in there. But during that time, a lot of stuff happened. And one of the things that happened was all the Jews, they got shipped off to Babylon. But some of them came back. Okay, eventually they came back. And we're actually learning about that in Daniel. some of them came back, and they started to rebuild the temple. And what happened was when the Jews left, the Samaritans said, okay, they stayed. They were actually... Jewish believers that stayed, and they went up to this mountain that wasn't where the temple is today. They went up to the mountain, I forget what the name is, it's something like Jezreel or something. Anyway, but they went up to the wrong mountain. So the temple right now is on the Temple Mount, on Mount Moriah. So I remember that because my wife's name is Moriah. So the temple... is on Mount Moriah right now. So the Samaritans actually say that the temple's on the wrong mountain. It's really cool. So they say it's supposed to be on this other mountain. So you know the mountain where, do you know where Jericho is? You remember in the Bible where the walls of Jericho fell? So that's where, right after that, was the Battle of Ai, right? And we all heard, you know, the preachers talk about the Battle of Ai where it was Joshua. At the Battle of Jericho, he prayed, and then the walls came down. Then the next one was the Battle of Ai. He didn't pray. He just went in and attacked, and then he was defeated. And Joshua, right? Was it Joshua? Right. Yeah. Okay. So then at the Battle of Ai, what did he do after that? He hid his... he went into his household, grabbed all the idols, and then he buried them on top of a hill, and guess what's there? It's the Samaritan temple. They went up and they built their temple on top of where those idols were buried. And this is it's a history thing, but it's not in the Bible, is what I'm going to say. So, but actually, you know, the walls of Jericho coming down, burying the idols right there on top of the mountain, that's in the Bible. But then the Samaritans coming along and building their temple there, that's unfortunately that's just in a history book. So I don't really know if it actually happened or not. I can't say yes, that's actually what happened. But according to the research, that's basically what happened. So then you have, fast forward, you know, hundreds of years, and actually from the building of their temple, the Samaritan temple, fast forward, you know, about 400 years, you have the woman at the well. So the woman at the well, what happened was this temple that she's referring to, she said, because, okay, this is what she says. So verse 423, it says, oh, wait a minute. Let's go up to verse 20. Okay, and this is the woman talking. She says, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now that's in the Bible because she's looking at her mountain and saying, our fathers worshipped in that mountain back then. This is where we worship today. This is where the Samaritans worship today. And she says, but you're saying that we should worship down in Jerusalem. So the Samaritans are saying that Jerusalem is the wrong place for the temple. And this is causing a big problem. And actually at that time, it caused a big problem because Samaritans would do things like go into the Jewish temple and right before they do the whole ritual with the scapegoat, at the beginning of the opening of the temple for the year, what they would do, the Samaritans, they would take dead body parts in bags, and they'd dress up like Jews, and they would take these body parts, and they would be the first people into the temple, and they would just dump these dead bodies in the middle of the temple. And I don't know if you know this, but when you do that, you make the place ritually unclean. You just can't. You can't sacrifice to God when you got dead bodies everywhere, especially when they're not Jews. They're just people they found. So the Samaritans, they weren't good people, you might say. There's only been one good Samaritan in the Bible that I could find. So, and I don't know, that could be a parable. But I don't know. But it wasn't a parable. But the woman at the well was a good person too, but technically. So now the Jews would do really bad things to the Samaritans also. So it was kind of a two-way street. It was kind of a Republicans versus Democrats, conservatives versus liberals type thing. You know, it's just two groups of people that just really, they hated each other. It was just really bad. And so then Jesus comes along and says, hey, there's a good Samaritan. And then you got the Jews saying, I've never seen one. What are you talking about, a good Samaritan? That's why it's such an interesting story when you read history about Samaritans and Jews, about the relationship where they used to be one people, but then the Jews went off to Babylon, and then they came back. And the Samaritans stayed, they interbred with the people that were still there. And so the Jews looked at these people as half-breeds. And then the Samaritans looked at the people as worshiping in the wrong place, worshiping in the wrong temple, doing the wrong things, going off and becoming Persian, and then coming back and saying, oh, we're really Jews. And so they just, they didn't like each other. So you got the woman at the well. She's Samaritan. So verse 21, it says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, talking about the Samaritan mountain, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You remember back then, the way to worship is to grab your goat and kill your goat and sacrifice your goat, or to take money and have somebody do that for you. You worshiped with your work. And verse 22, it says, Ye worship, ye know not what. Talking about the idols. It's amazing that Jesus knew this. Ye worship, ye know not what. It's this old English is getting to me. We know what we worship. That's the Jews. They know what we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Just keep in mind, Jesus says that. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? Truth. That's right. Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So to worship God today is not in Jerusalem, nor is it in Israel, unless there are believers there who can actually worship him. We worship God in spirit and in truth. So the truth, that's why you need to love the truth, is because that's how you worship God. You not only worship God in spirit, but you worship God in truth. Every man, every woman, every child must come to the Jewish Messiah for salvation. Remember, it said salvation is of the Jews. That's Jesus Christ. Obviously, we know John 6:14. Go there. Let's look at that. John 14:6. I said it backwards. So I don't want to quote it wrong, so I have to go there. John 14:6, it says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father. It's the only way to life. That's the only way. So go to Acts 4:12. These are two verses that you shouldn't have to go to, but we're going to go there so I don't quote them wrong. If I quote them wrong when I'm talking to an unbeliever, it doesn't matter because he doesn't know what it is either. So, it doesn't matter. Okay, so this is talking about Jesus, and it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not can be saved, but must be saved. So you must be saved by Jesus Christ. That's the only way. The only way is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's not, Muhammad, he can't save you. There's no way. He's dead. He's gone. He's buried. So the Muslims, they like to honor Jesus by saying, what do they say? They say, Jesus, peace be upon him. That's a lie. That's a straight up lie. They don't want peace upon Jesus. They don't even know Jesus. So they say they honor Jesus by saying peace be upon him, but they don't even recognize who he is. They're a bunch of big fat liars. So how to worship in truth? Let's look at this. Go to Colossians chapter 3. So if the Bible says that you have to worship in truth, in spirit and in truth, let's look and see how we can do that. Colossians. That's before Revelation. Wait a minute. What? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay, so Colossians 3, 16, where are we at? There's 2, there's 3, 16. Colossians 3, 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The word is the Bible. The word of Christ dwell in you richly. So you should be reading your Bible in all wisdom. So not only read your Bible, but maybe get saved first and then understand your Bible. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. We know what a psalm is, right? It's in our Bible. In hymns. We have hymns. Okay, so we're going to teach with psalms and hymns and admonish one another with psalms and hymns. And in spiritual songs. So we have a praise book. That's good. Those are spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your hearts to each other. No? To the Lord. To the Lord. So when you sing, you know, we're a very small church. We all know each other. Know each other a little too well. So maybe a little too well. We all know each other's quirks. And one of the reasons why I feel comfortable talking to you is because it's just us, you know, and, you know, 3,000 people on YouTube or whatever. I don't know. Some of Greg's stuff gets like 56,000 hits. And it's like, dude, but don't worry, that's not his Bible teaching. That's just his weird rantings about gunmen and stuff like that. So like, they don't want to hear the Bible. They just want to hear his theories on how many shooters there were. So they don't care about the Bible. So verse 17, it says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." So you worship God by singing to God in your heart. That's the spirit. So when we come in here and we sing our hymns, you should know that everybody knows you don't know how to sing. This is what I think. So everybody knows you don't know how to sing, Steve. Come on. Just and you realize how hard it was for me to get up here and do the hand thing? Do you realize, I don't know the difference between 4-4 and 4-3. I just act like I do. I did 4443-8822. You guys don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? So somebody, one person does. Two people do. That's good. What did I? I remember one time, Jenny, what did you say to me when I said the bridge? I said, oh yeah, you got to go into the bridge on that song, yeah. Or and you were like, man, you're so smart. I have no idea what the bridge is. I just say it. Okay, so when the little dot goes up, I go up. When the little dot goes down, I go down. So, but it's hard because I have no idea how to sing or any of that stuff. And I get up here and I'm like, I'm keeping time. Yay. But that's because Greg's sick. So, but spiritual songs to the Lord. So when you worship, when you sing, especially in church, sing to the Lord. When you read your Psalms, you know, there's people who have come out, all 150 Psalms, they have a track. Abigail Miller, I believe it was Abigail Miller, she did all 150, or she's working on it, one or the other. But she's got all the Psalms down in song, and even in your car. You should be singing these songs in your car. Worship God while you're driving. Worship God while you're working. You can worship God all the time. It's not just in church. But that's a way to worship God. You worship God in spirit and in truth. You don't worship by killing an animal. You worship by getting saved and giving thanks. There in verse 17, give thanks. But that's thanks in your heart, you know, all the time, being thankful. So you come in here and maybe you're, you know, maybe you're saved, but then you're like, oh man, I don't really want to be here. Will you ever shut up? You know, it's already, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and he keeps on saying that he works late, but it doesn't look like it. And will he just go away? But that's not giving thanks. That's being a meanie pants. So read your Bible to know your Bible. I've got that written down for some reason. But, oh yeah, yeah, so in the first part of the verse, or in the first part of 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So you don't know what the word is until you read the word. Read your Bible. Just take it one word at a time. You know, you can do a word a day or a chapter a day or a book a day. It doesn't matter. Just get in there and read, and it's fun. So you don't have to read the hard stuff. Just read the easy stuff. So that's what I do. Did anybody catch that? No? Okay. You don't have to read Leviticus. Just read, what's another book? Oh, no. Just read whatever you want. But read the Bible. Okay, so to worship God in truth, you must be thankful to God. And go to, we're going to skip all this. So write this down, and then you can look it up later. Isaiah 1:10-11, Ephesians 5:18-20, Malachi 1:6-11, and okay, actually go to Ephesians 5. Yeah, because this is kind of cool when I was studying this. So remember what we just read, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 5. It's kind of cool. You ever wonder, like, you know, how do they know who's actually writing these books or these letters or whatever? And this is kind of a cool thing. It's to remember what we just read in Colossians, and then we have Ephesians 5:18. 5:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and what? Wait, maybe this is the wrong place. That's 6. 5:18. 5:18, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So that sounds a lot like what we just read. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's kind of like it's a copy and paste. So maybe that he was just kind of writing off letters or something like that. That's actually what he was doing. But So there's actually, I find that it's kind of cool when you read through the Bible and you think you're in, it's like, man, I think I'm in Colossians, but then you're like, no, I'm in Ephesians. It's weird. And you think you're, you know, it's like a thing in your mind, but it's actually, yeah, it's a complementary verse, yeah. And you get that a lot in the Psalms, actually. And actually, in there's a couple places in the Proverbs where that happens. It's kind of cool. So, okay. So you should love God, or I'm sorry, you should love the truth because you're saved. So go to John 14, chapter 7. John 14, 17. Sorry about that. John 14, 17. John's one of my favorite books, obviously. It's got a lot of good doctrine in it for every dispensation. Kind of like Acts. Every dispensation. Everything's in there. Even heresy. So it's kind of cool. So it would be heresy today. John 14, 17. Okay, I had to find it somewhere. John 14, 17. It says, even the spirit of truth, who the word cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So the spirit, where am I at? So we have the spirit of truth. So we have the spirit of truth. And Jesus was talking here, but they didn't have the spirit yet. And the spirit was the comforter. So you should love the spirit because the spirit dwells in you. It's actually part of you. And you have the spirit of truth if you are a Christian, if you're saved. Go to, this is kind of a cool place. So that's one of the places in John where the comforter is actually promised. So it says that even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. So the world can't see him, but you see him. So you should love him. It says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Notice it says shall. It doesn't say is. So go to go real quick to Acts chapter 1. So Acts chapter 1. So the Spirit is actually being promised, this Spirit of truth that we're talking about, the Spirit of truth that actually dwells inside of us. So it's truth that is actually inside of us. It's actually a living being. So it's the Comforter. So in Acts 1, go to verse 4. It says, "And being a Acts 1 verse 4." It says, "And being assembled together with them," this is Jesus talking, "commanded them that they should not dwell," I'm sorry, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith," "saith he, ye have heard of me." So you remember in John, he's promising that eventually there will be this comforter, the spirit of truth that dwells inside of us. And it says, "Ye have heard of me," the spirit. So, and then in verse 5 it says, "For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." So they're not baptized with the Holy Ghost yet, because it says not many days hence. And then verse 6 it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." So the restoration of the kingdom of Israel is not for them to know the times or the seasons. But wait, what's the next verse say? "But ye shall receive after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So they didn't know when the kingdom was going to be restored to Israel. But guess what? What's this book at the end called? Revelation, right? This is actually a prophecy talking about Revelation. Ye shall receive, ye shall know. So we know that the times, and we know the times and the seasons. I mean, flat out, we know it because it's in the book of Revelation. It was given to us after this. So, and then also it's talking about ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. So they don't have the Holy Ghost at this time because it's not come upon them. They also, so the Spirit of Truth is not in them yet. They're just like anybody else at that time, just like any unsaved person, you might say. But I'm sure God knows what he's doing. Let's see what he's doing. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 1. So Acts 1, you've got the Spirit promised. John, you've got the Spirit promised or prophesied. But Acts 2, you've got the Spirit given. So it says, Acts 2, 1, it says, and when the day of Pentecost, that's actually a Jewish holiday, just so you know, not an event. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And that was in Jerusalem. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it, that's the sound, filled all the house where they were sitting. Now notice it was just a sound, just so you know. Okay. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit, capital S, gave them utterance. So they were actually given the Spirit of Truth. That's where the Spirit of Truth was first given to Christians. It was right there in Acts chapter 2. And so you have the Spirit of Truth. Go to 1 Corinthians. Actually, no, let's skip that. Okay. So we have, so now number 4. You should love the truth because you love people. So go to Galatians chapter 4. Back up to Galatians. Chapter 4, verse 16. If anybody quotes it, I'll give them $1 without looking. That's a good one. No. I don't have $1, so. Chapter 4, verse 16. Whoever gets there first, just shout it out. Is that how they do? Where's my Galatians? Whoever gets there first to shout it out. No, okay. That's right. Good job. Okay, and? Okay, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? So you should love people. I'm sorry, you should love the truth because you love people. How many of you love somebody? Good, that's everybody but one, two. The newly married woman didn't raise her hand. You did?
Your wife did.
Oh, the oldly married woman. How many of you? You don't love little Gloria. Okay, so if you love people, you're going to tell them the truth. Down here in Galatians is a book of reprimand, you might say, to the Galatians. So Paul is reprimanding the Galatians because they're stupid. And that's about how it is, man. So he's reprimanding them. But one of the things that, as a Christian, we are supposed to warn people, and we're supposed to tell them the truth because we love him. What's the banner say behind me? It's, we love you enough to tell you the truth.